Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host and grandfather, Jim Hobgood.
Very trusty, there's no question about
it. And also a grandfather. And research analyst, super specialist, always smiling, Michael Tusky. Hope everybody's off to a great start with the new year. Speaking of great starts, UVA fans are enjoying an excellent season with the Wahoo men's basketball team. They've won 12 straight games and are currently ranked in the AP at number 16. UVA's Mike Scott is leading the way with three ACC Player of the Week awards already. Tonight we'll preview Virginia's big Thursday night game down in Durham. And then basically, Hobo, we're glad that everybody's joining us again.
That is absolutely the case. This indeed is Hobo, otherwise known as Jim, or vice versa, whichever you prefer. And tonight is Virginia left-hander night. As a former left-hander myself, I guess I'm still a left-hander since I'm still breathing, which is, you know, hopefully I'll make it through the show. At any rate, one of our Virginia Hoops left-handers tonight is also the radio color guy now for the Virginia Broadcast Network, Ted Jeffries. He'll be joining us in the first half hour momentarily. And then at the bottom of the hour, former left-hand shooter Tim Mullen will join us. Tim, of course, was on the teams with Ralph Sampson, the glory years of Virginia basketball, which Tony Bennett will hopefully return us to before too long. And as Frank said, tomorrow night, big game in Cameron Indoor Stadium. That's kind of been a building of horrors for Virginia in recent years. But
and a lot of teams.
A lot of teams. A lot of teams. But the tip-off down there just after 9 o'clock tomorrow night on ESPN, so a lot of Wahoos going to be tuned into that one and watching, and hopeful that the Cavs can get down there, play well, and be very competitive against the Duke Blue Devils.
I want to give a plug right now for the Le Maire restaurant and our good friends down at the Jefferson Hotel. What a great idea tomorrow night. You might go down there and have drinks and maybe an appetizer or a nice dinner and then watch the game at 9 o'clock. So,
is that an invitation?
I think it's a good plan.
At any rate, there are several ways to follow the show, and our friend Mr. Tusky is going to describe those ways right now.
Who is also left-handed, so glad to be here.
Too many lefties in here. Holy cow.
Well, tonight we encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on to Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, become a fan, and post comments. We also encourage listeners to download the iHeartRadio app to listen to the show live on your smartphone. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, Michael and Frank, football in the books now.
Hard to believe that college football is over.
Yeah, as of Monday night. Certainly congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide with their second title in 3 years. They got things going down there under Coach Saban, but we've got things improving under Coach London, and I think everybody's kind of excited about what's happening in Virginia football, and we will hope to have Coach London on
in the next couple of weeks.
In the next couple of weeks to talk about the next class that will sign here as of February 1st.
I believe so.
But at any rate, so we'll have Coach London back on. So football is never over. That's the one thing I found out about during this show. Football never ends.
Football never really ends. And we do have the Sabres, Chris Horn, coming on next week. Don't miss it. We're going to break down all the football recruiting news, both for Virginia and the rest of the ACC. And things are getting very exciting now because most teams only have one or two spots remaining, and they're still jockeying for the three stars, the four stars, and in some cases even five-star players that are undecided.
Yeah, and Chris, always very insightful relative to these kids that have committed verbally, and hopefully will sign that letter of intent in another couple of weeks. Let's talk a little bit about basketball and Ted Jeffries as we do get ready for the big game tomorrow night down in Durham. We're going to go ahead and try to get Ted tracked down here momentarily on the phone. But, of course, Ted played at Virginia from 1990 to 93, so he had 1 year. He was there for the last year of Coach Holland and the first 3 years of Coach Jones. And I think, I don't have it right in front of me, but I think the nice thing about Ted is I think all 4 years – the team won 20-plus games. And there aren't that many players that played at Virginia who can say that the team won 20-plus games for his entire career. So Ted, certainly in rare company in that regard.
You know, Ted, I think Ted played at DeMatha, didn't he? in high school?
I think that maybe. He certainly was from the Washington, D.C. area.
I'm pretty certain he played at Dematha. I think what always amazed us with Ted is, although he was not necessarily the tallest guy, he certainly used his width and his body very effectively in the low post, and he gave people fits. In the early years at Virginia, I think Ted, you know, it took a while for the referees to understand that a guy that strong and that big could be as nimble, and they stopped calling the cheap fouls on him, particularly those last 2 years. And
well, our two guests tonight are on my top five all-time left-hand hoopsters at Virginia. Now, that list may lose credibility because I put myself on that list, you know.
But, never met a shot you didn't like.
Ted, are you with us?
Yes, Jim. How are you, sir?
We're doing well. And, I thought I would start sort of a follow-up to that. You know, Frank always asks me, and maybe you can answer this question. He said, why are left-handed basketball players so smart, skilled, and good-looking?
That's not true.
Well, it's certainly true in our case.
All right, I'll give the two of you some credit. All right.
But anyway, Ted, thanks for joining us tonight. Let's before we talk Duke, let's talk a little bit about the Miami game. Certainly a game that Virginia happy to win, and thank goodness for Mike Scott, or else they probably wouldn't have won. What was your assessment of the game on Saturday evening?
Well, you know, obviously I thought the guys did enough to hold Miami off. I think there was a certain point late in the second half where people thought this was deja vu, revisited from the ACC tournament. But like you said, Jim, you know, Mike Scott showed up big time for the Cavaliers, and that was important. I was encouraged by their play. And, you know, we needed them to pull that game off to, you know, get the ACC season started off right. But, you know, it's always encouraging to see teams, you know, Virginia programs and their teams to kind of hold off teams and win games. So, you know, I was encouraged by that. They didn't play particularly well. It wasn't a pretty game, but they won the game. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what's most important.
Well, go ahead, Frank.
Ted, this is Frank. You know, watching this team, it's almost like, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, some nights John Tell will make a big shot. Some nights Harris will make a big shot. You know, some nights Malcolm Brogdon will make a shot. And then we're always praying that Sammy and Mike Scott can keep leading the team with points. Going forward, what's going to be the key to creating a more consistent offense for this team, in your opinion?
That's a great question, Frank. Let me start before I start answering that question. I didn't acknowledge you when I first got on. So, hello, Frank. Happy New Year. I acknowledge Jim. But
well, don't worry about it. I tend not to acknowledge his presence here.
You're terminated.
Well, I tell you what,
tough
crowd up there for you, isn't it, Frank?
You know, I've been putting up with this nonsense for almost 3 years.
You're a glutton for punishment, that's for sure. You know, for Virginia, yeah, what's going to be, you know, consistent scoring for them, they're going to need, you know, their guys, your Joe Harris's, your John Tells, you know, even the Sean Sin, they're going to need to get some solid, consistent points from these guys. I mean, obviously with Hassan, you're optimistic about getting him maybe 2-3 baskets a game if he can get an offensive rebound and put back. John Tell's got to continue to do what I think he's gotten better at, and you know he's lightning fast.
Yep.
He's able to get to the rim. He's actually developed this mid-range runner that I think is working for him. But he can get to the rim. But you know Joe Harris is going to have to show up big. Malcolm Brogdon is just this kid I think is going to be very special at UVA. He has the ability because of his size, his strength. I don't know if you guys noticed, but he's in certain plays, little go-to plays, coming out of timeouts, they go to him in the post and try to, you know, when they recognize a mismatch, that they can go to him and let him post up against smaller guards. You know, because of his strength, he's able to, you know, kind of ward off more physical defenders, keep his body control, and get to the rim. So, you know, assuming that Sammy and Michael are continuing to do what they're supposed to do, scoring the points that we need. You know, you get this consistent scoring from these other guys because I think you're only strong is, you know, your for lack of a better term, weaker link from the team. I mean, you're getting solid bench points and solid contributions from, you know, your third, fourth, and fifth guy on the team. It's only going to bode well for you down the stretch in the ACC.
Well, one additional thought. Malcolm Brogdon is the guy as poised. You know, you get to see these guys a little bit closer than everyone else. Is he as poised as he seems?
No doubt about it, Frank. No doubt about it. This kid is rarely shaken, if ever stirred. When you watch his demeanor, he's super confident. He keeps a very kind of stoic face out on the court, but he's confident in what he can do. You know, and he's given us a solid contribution off the bench. And for a first-year player, it's almost, you know, I shouldn't say it's unheard of because this is ACC. This is, you know, we see freshman phenoms all the time, and as a matter of fact, we'll see one tomorrow night. But, you know, this kid is solid as a rock, and, again, I think he's going to be very special for UVA.
All right, Ted, speaking of tomorrow night, the Duke Blue Devils, as Pete Gillen used to say, everybody's familiar with Duke because they're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns, although Leave It to Beaver's probably not on very much anymore unless you're watching Nickelodeon. But from the Wahoo standpoint, what does Virginia have to do tomorrow night to compete with the Blue Devils?
Well, I think there are three areas that what they need to do to compete with the Blue Devils. One is they have to take care of the basketball. They can't afford any senseless turnovers. I mean, obviously, you have to be aggressive. Turnovers will happen, but they have to take care of the ball. I think, two, they have to try to win the battle of the boards. Duke is actually giving up one rebound per game to their opponent. So if they can get, you know, some offensive rebounds, get some putbacks, win the battle of the boards, obviously take care of their board, defensive boards, that's going to help them. And then, you know, let's just face it, the Cameron Indoor Arena is it's an incredible environment, and it can be somewhat off-putting, it can be intimidating, and if they can match the intensity and, you know, not be affected by the atmosphere that is Cameron Indoor, I think that they'll, you know, they could play with a certain amount of poise and confidence. They won't hurry when they meet pressure because I think they're going to meet a certain type of half-court pressure that they have yet to see this season. So they're going to have to be poised under pressure tomorrow night. And those are the three things that I think that will, if they can win those three battles, they have a great shot at winning this game.
Yeah, I would add a couple things. You know, I think they're going to have to bring their A game and probably going to need offensive production from people other than Mike Scott. Against a quality team like Duke. So hopefully Zaglinski, Harris, Brogdon, some guys like that can knock down some jump shots, and that would really be helpful.
I would agree, obviously. And, you know, the offense sometimes has been streaky for the Cavaliers this year. Defensively, they've been solid as a rock. You know, if they can continue to hold their opponent to less than 50 points, and as we saw this past game against Miami, if they can score 51, hey, that's the game and we win. it's not pretty, but that's tough to do in this age of basketball. The talent that's out there in America to be able to hold teams to 50 points is pretty phenomenal.
Ted, Jim tells me it's very difficult to get into the radio booth down there at Cameron Indoor. Have they got a special forklift or something to help you get up in there? Because Jim described it, and he said it wasn't easy for him. And you're a larger man than Jim, so how does that work?
Well, I'm a little bit younger than Jim.
That's
well,
true. So,
you know,
that's
I,
true.
Hey, no be nice
to...
now. Be nice.
Well, you know, we took Jim's walk away from tonight.
So. No offense to my sage veteran UVA left-hander there. I talked about it. We talked about Reggie Johnson from Miami. You know, we big guys are a little bit more nimble and sleeker than we often appear. So it's like that side view mirror. You know, objects in this mirror are probably more sleeker than you think.
Yeah, I kept wondering the other day, how come Al Golden doesn't have Reggie Johnson out there playing on the Miami Hurricane football team? He's a solid, big, wide guy.
Yeah, you know, he would do himself a favor by putting that big fella out on the offensive line, that's for sure.
Ted, we got to go to break here. Can we hold you over break and maybe just finish up with a question or two when we get back on the other side?
You got twisted my arm. I love you. So sure, I'll hang around.
All right. Ted Jeffries, UVA color analyst. He'll be back after break. Stay with us. We'll be back after these messages.
All right. We're back. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood. This is Who's Talking. And I understand that we've got Dan on the line. And Dan would like to speak to our featured guest, Ted Jeffries. Ted, hang on. Here comes Dan.
Hey, Ted. Hello. How's it going?
It's Dan, Dan, former roommate, Dan Hobgood, Ted.
Uh-oh, here come the embarrassing stories.
This is not a roast.
Dan, don't forget, you signed the waiver that year, so the statute of limitation is still on.
That's right. I tell you what, now I tell the story about how I saw Ted from about 15 yards away at a UVA football game around maybe 91, 92, and I nearly went number one in my pants. Just, oh, my goodness, it's Ted Jeffries. And 10 years later, I was living with the guy. So it was quite a thrill.
How could you be that impressed with Ted when you grew up with me in the house?
I don't know. It was baffling to me, too.
All right. Well, Dan, thanks for calling in. We're going to get one more quick question to Ted.
I have one more thing to say. The game is tomorrow night in Cameron, right?
Right.
Yeah, Ted, I know where you'll be sitting to enjoy the game, and all I can say is good luck with that.
Yeah, I am not looking forward to this. I'm not looking forward to the trip at all. But
you shouldn't.
But I've been hearing a lot about this place where I'll be sitting or perched.
It's a different perspective on the game. That's for sure.
It'll be a tight squeeze for you, Ted. I know how big a guy you are.
All right.
We'll make it happen.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Dan. Ted, before we let you go, we thought we'd end with a nice memory, and that is your senior year, a win on the road down in Cameron, 77-69. Tell us a little bit about that game.
Well, it was a great game for the Cavaliers that year, co-captain with Doug Smith, my teammate then. We were 10-0, had the longest undefeated winning streak in the country, going up against number 3 Duke on the road, and, you know, a real ACC test. We had already, I think we were 2-0 in the conference at that time, and got a chance to go in, and it was an incredible game. All of our guys, I think we had four out of five starters were in double digits scoring, and then we got a big boost off the bench from Doug Smith. It was just an incredible game, electric atmosphere. You know, it's nothing like taking the wind out of that of the sails of the Dukies down there in Cameron Indoor Arena.
Well, and since that time, I guess the 95 win is the most recent win we've had down there. Frank didn't want me to bring this up, but in my 12 years as a broadcaster, we made 11 trips down there, and I'm still looking for the first win as a broadcaster, I can tell you. So hopefully you'll have better luck than I had.
Well, I look forward to it. I'm hopeful that I have that type of luck as well.
Ted, it's been great having you on the show. We'd like to bring you back later in the year when things get really interesting, and good luck down in Durham, big guy.
Thank you, Drake. Thanks a lot. I look forward to it. Give me a call. Let me know when I can come back on. I'm enjoying it.
Listen, take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Ted Jeffries.
Take care, Jim.
All right, will do. Former star basketball player and now color analyst for the Virginia Radio Network, and Frank Maloney.
All right, at this time we want to announce our Play of the Game, sponsored by our good friends at LeClaire Ryan. It was an easy choice. We selected the men's recent home game versus Miami. And Jim is going to describe the action at the end of the game.
Well, at the end of the game, of course, the last 33 seconds where Virginia gets the ball out of bounds. It was rather ironic. I thought Miami should have fouled right away. They let Virginia burn 14, 15 seconds, but at about 18 seconds, maybe I'm giving you more play than you really wanted, but Virginia actually did make a second inbounds play because Miami had a foul to give before the 1-1. Virginia gets the ball in play inbounds to Joe Harris, who normally is a reliable free throw shooter. Unfortunately, he short-armed it, hit the front of the rim. Miami gets the rebound, goes down into the offensive end. Unfortunately,
who got the ball? Was that Scott?
I think it was,
Durant Scott.
Durant Scott on the baseline on the left-hand side, and Jontel Evans was able to get in there and make it life difficult for him. The ball came loose after he put up a shot that didn't go in, and in the little scrum that followed, the clock ran out, and Virginia kind of walked away with a heart-throb 52-51 victory, and as Ted said earlier, maybe not the prettiest game in the world, but still a victory, what, number 14 on the year and 12 in a row. So an impressive win streak for the Cavs.
And it puts Virginia at the top of the ACC.
Yeah, we should put Michael Tuskey on this. I was thinking the other day, when was the last time Virginia went to Cameron with a better record than Duke? My guess is you probably have to go back to the Sampson period for that to be the case.
That's probably true.
So it's been a while. And, of course, both teams ranked going into tomorrow night's game.
I think Duke is 8th and Virginia is 16th.
Yeah, we're getting the ESPN A-team, Mike Patrick and Dick Vitale, doing the game on TV tomorrow night.
Although I would recommend to all you Wahoos out there, why don't you turn down the sound and turn on WRVA, our sister station, 1140 AM, and listen to our buddy Ted Jeffries, who we just had on the show here.
If they can match up the radio with the TV, that'd be a great way of doing it.
Well, it's a little off, but I'd much rather listen to our guys every time. Anyway, we're headed to break at this time, and we've got former UVA guard Tim Mullen joining us momentarily. And feel free to call in at 345-0910 to ask your questions. And Who's Talking will return in a few minutes.